at the dinner last year. This year, we want to take the opportunity after service to just say, my way of saying, my wife as well, of saying thanks to the ministers for what you do in the ministry and helping, just to know that it's not going unnoticed. This is what we can do now, but we know that ultimately God will reward you, you know, for what you are doing here on earth. So that's just a way of saying thanks. Amen. It's one thing to say it, but sometimes you got to show it. Amen. So that's what that is all about. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God who had in my life, to each and every one in their respective places. Thank God for musicians, for being faithful and being here. Thank God for each and every one of you. May God continue to bless you and keep you. Amen. Look towards the hills from which comes your help. Your help is coming from the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's where your help is coming from. Amen. I know you may receive that paycheck, but it is God that is giving you the activity of your limbs and to enable you to get up out of the bed and to go to work to receive that check that God is giving you. Amen. So it is ultimately God who is blessing you. Amen. Amen. You can't get around it. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I want to make sure you're with me. I'm reading from the King James Version. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of God's word. What I would like to talk today is on a variety of things. Everything is always, my message is always centered around God. Amen. Amen. You should know me by now, I'm not a pastor that, you know, will come up with these extravagant titles, you know, that make you go, wow, you know, that's not me. Everything is centered around God. I don't care what these pastors' titles are, what they come up with. When it's all said and done, if it does not touch God, if it doesn't talk about God, that title don't mean anything. Amen? It means absolutely nothing. But I want you to talk about is learning to lean on God. Amen? I also want to also talk about, you know, is how do, you know, we all deal with stress. And the question is if we're honest with each other, you know, we worry and we have anxiety and we have stress that's in our lives. So it doesn't matter how old you may be, you still have to deal with stress. Amen? You got to deal with it. Even children have stress. I mean, they got to deal with the stress of their parents, you know. That's just what it is. They got to deal with stress, even on that level. To us who are adults, we may say, oh, that ain't nothing. But remember back when you were a child, okay, didn't your parents stress you out? Okay, let's look at it from a different perspective. Stop looking at it as your adult life. Look at it from a perspective of a child. You know, you want to be told what to do. Amen? Let's just be real this morning. But it doesn't matter what age you are. In other words, what I'm saying, you could be 90-something years old. We all have to deal with stress, worry, and anxiety. You know, so the thing is, how do we, each one of us, men and women, we deal with stress differently. We attack it differently. In other words, we have to understand God has wired a woman this way. He has wired a man this way. We are wired differently. So how do you comfort a woman when she's stressed? Well, first of all, you got to learn to trace the roots of what's stressing her out. Amen? You got to find out what's stressing her out. See, it's difficult to make a move if you don't know where you're standing. You got to know where you're standing. So it's best if you try to trace the roots to find out what's stressing your wife out. Is it work? Is it a career? Is it the family? Talk about these things. Amen? Sometimes some women just want you to listen. Amen? That's all. Just want you to listen. Sometimes we can say we listen, but we really are not actively listening. Amen? You don't, here's the thing. You don't want to add more to what the woman is already stressed about. You don't want to add any more. She's already there. You don't want to add more by, you know, because I have my wife. Are you listening to me? You better believe I am. But she understands, and she can look at me and want to know, because she wants to respond sometimes. Not the response to tell her what to do, but the response to let me know that I'm listening. Okay, let me know I'm not, you know, are you here? Or are you out there in your little stinky yard thinking about your grass? That's what my wife called it, a little stinky yard. Sometimes you got to grab your wife and hug her and let her know that everything is going to be all right. Amen? I mean, sometimes you chase her through the house. That'll work too. But one of the things you need to, I know with my wife, you know, massage her. I know how to get her real good. Just massage her. But I can break her down right there. Whatever she's stressed out about, bam, it's gone. These hands are very powerful. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We have to let them know that everything is all right. By giving her a hug, it's like you are telling her that you are with her. So we have to understand. You have to realize what it is that is. We all going to be stressed about something, but we have to be able to be there for that person when they're stressed. Amen? Now, how do you comfort a man when he's stressed? It's almost really, it's some similar, it's the same thing. It's give him a hug. Here's what I mean by that is, he may be stressed right now, but remember, you are his home. And so sometimes, you know, ladies, when I say give a man a hug, y'all bear with me. I ain't talking about a nasty hug. Y'all know what a nasty hug is. That's a hug where you just do somebody like this. Ain't nothing in that. That's a nasty hug. But a hug is when you grab them. A man, in a sense, y'all, I always say this to y'all. Watch the playground. The boy's side, probably be a lot of dust over here kicking up, because that's the way boys are wired. Everything that's in order is going to be out of order when the guys get done, when the boys get, because they're going to kick up some dust on this playground. The women, probably everything's going to be organized. Everybody probably be in a single file line over there waiting in turn and all of that foolishness that's going on over there. What I'm saying, we're wired differently.
Amen? We're wired differently. So what I'm saying is boys like more of aggressive type of style. So what I'm saying is, ladies, you got to grab your husband and you got to let him know that you love him. Affirm. You ever seen when men shake hands, they grip. They don't do this. That's nasty. y'all understand what I'm saying? When a man shakes hands with another man, they grip their hand. It's gripping. You firm, you know. But it ain't that. You know, you really don't want to touch somebody, touch something. It's not like that. And to each his own, give that man a massage. Same as with a woman, a massage. Another thing is to kind of help this man with stress is cook his favorite food. That'll break him down. Every time, it'll break him down. The other thing is let him vent. Sometimes we don't understand. Listen to this. We need to know, and here's the thing. Encourage your husband to express his frustration at work, at home, or in life in general. Once he does, make sure that you don't take his rants personally, women. Don't take it personally. I remember I was talking to the state president. And he's not married, but he's dating. He said, "Man, we're around the same age. He's just a year older than me." He said, out of nowhere, he said I was having a conversation with my girlfriend, and then all of a sudden she brought up something 3 days ago, and put it in my face, and he was like, "What are you talking about?" He was trying to recall what she's talking about, and she said, "Well, you said this," and he's like, I don't remember saying that, and then she was taking it personally. He said, "I was just joking. I was just playing." Lady, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. The last thing he wants while he is stressed is you trying to pick a fight. Amen? A man don't want you, he ain't trying to get into a fight. Don't pick a fight with him. So just give him the time that he needs to let whatever is in him out of him. Amen? Listen to this proverb. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 25 and 24. This came up the other day. I ain't say anything, but it came up the other day. Listen to this. It says, "It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a whole house." That's Solomon said that. I know why he said it, but I'm just saying. Proverbs chapter 25 and 24. Look at me, I'm marking it down. There's one over there. What this is saying is you can tear a man down, a good man down, by using your mouth to destroy him. Constantly destroying him. Constantly being opinionated. Constantly questioning him. Constantly just coming at him. The Bible said this man, see, back then they had flat roofs, because I think if they had a slanted roof, I don't think he would have said that. But back then the roof was like this. And let's just be real. I mean, because, you know, most houses, they're pitched. Amen? I don't know if they want to be up there where it is pitched. But most of the houses back then were flat. And so this man is saying, Solomon, saying, "Man, I'd rather be on the rooftop than be inside the house with a brawling woman." That's a woman that's constantly coming at you, destroying you. Destroying your character. Never say anything to encourage you. This is what he's saying. He said, "Man, I'd rather be outside of the house." Listen to him. Put yourself in his shoes to understand the reason why this person is upset. Can we live a stress-free life? No. Here's why. Stress is a part of the human condition. There are different types of stress that we must accept in life. There's this self-induced stress, like, for example, Friday night, I was over to my parents' house, excited about the Cardinals in the National League Championship Series, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm studying. And as I'm studying, I'm watching this my team, who scored 10 runs in the first inning against the Braves. Now I'm watching them, can't even get a hit in the game. So I'm trying to study. I'm causing stress on myself, self-induced stress, watching them, and I'm sitting there going like, they ain't got a hit yet. I was like, are you kidding me? You getting paid all this money, and you can't even hit that ball? I'm like this. I know why they cut me, but I'm trying to figure out why you can't hit this ball. 7 innings of no-hit ball. I'm sitting there going like, I just closed everything down, sitting there. I'm mad. Kids playing soccer right in front of me at the grandparents' house. They just like, score, go. And I'm sitting there trying to watch TV. This ball is flying past me. I'm mad. Not trying to get irritated. And then they kicking it. And, you know, and Bob is on the treadmill, and I'm sitting there going like, we can't get a hit. I'm trying to tell you that I was bringing stress on myself. If I had not been watching the game and I had focused on studying God's word, I wouldn't be stressed out. Y'all follow what I'm saying? If I had a focus on God's word, not trying to watch TV and trying to study at the same time, I wouldn't be bringing on stress upon myself. Y'all follow what I'm saying? See, this is the type of stress that we bring on ourselves, okay? So there's another type of stress that is called inherent stress. You didn't choose it. It just came as a part of living your life. So it's real, and it can be, it's overwhelming at times. It's a load, it's a weight that's laid on your life, okay? We are stressed by time. This is one of the greatest contributors to stress is time. Sundays come every 7 days, and I'm stressed by preaching the word of God. Then not only that, let me tell you something. When you get done preaching, you got to get ready because Sunday is coming again. If the Lord said the same. So you got to have a what? Another word for the people. Come on, this is serious. And here's the thing. The clock never slows down and never bags up for you. It's continuously going. So that's more stress that you're adding to yourself because you have to deliver God's words. But see, if you're not involved in church, it don't matter what time you show up. You're just going to come. You know, I mean, preaching, we could be up here saying, ah, man, and we're done. And you walking in, ain't nothing stressed out about you. You're like, oh, I didn't get it this time. I'll wait till next Sunday. Don't mean nothing to you. You don't care if you miss Sunday school. You don't care if you miss the first half of service. Let you miss the first half of a game, you be trying to get your money back. Or you be mad, blowing in traffic, laying on your horn. Come on. Small children are even stressed. Even my little ones, they get stressed. Are we going to be late today? I'm like, whoa, slow your roll. Look at who you talking to. First of all, I'm going to get you there on time. I ain't your mama. Don't bring it here. I'm just saying, don't bring it here. And I got a little one. Lord bless her. Bless her, she knows not what she say and do. But she said she was late. She ain't like it. She said, Daddy, what you doing? I said, none of them said, give me to take y'all to school. He said, yeah, we want you to take us. Not mama. Mama makes us late. We don't like to be late. We want to be on time. You get us there early. We want to get there early. And then she had nerve to say, Mama, if you're going to come with us, you can drive behind us, not in the car with us. That little one is something else. I'm telling y'all, she rough. But she did say it. I said, you better come on here, go. Let's go. She was like, Daddy. And then Jeremiah is like, Daddy, thanks. You get us here on time all the time. Mm. Cause see, the thing is, they like to be the first in line. Okay? So when their class comes, they are already there, and everybody else got to get behind them. You know, but see, when Mama take them, they're at the end, and they don't like that. You know, you can see the class going down the hallway. They got to. I'm just saying. And see, the thing about it is, if you're coming late, and let me just take an example. Minister Brown works in, I've known her work in the emergency room, right? She's a registered nurse. She's in the emergency room. Emergency room is on and popping. I'm going to tell y'all this right now. If you a nurse, you in an emergency room, I know your stuff. Because you ain't got time to be, okay, let me, what's going on? No, everything is really urgent or emergency. So you got to know it, you got to know it, you got to know it. So what I'm saying is, what I'm getting at, when they change shifts, their shifts overlap. Okay, why do the shift overlap? Because there's got to be a point in there where there's a transition. Okay, there's got to be a cool down, and then there's got to be a uprising. Okay, because see, what happens is you get in there and you can get into the flow of things. Okay, you get there early. You're getting into the flow of it. And then so you keeping up with the pace. Okay, because it's easy for them to have a trauma alert. It's easy for them to have all two of them at one time. You know, you can have this going. So my point is, what I'm trying to say is that you got that transition period. Sometimes you need a cool down. You understand what I'm saying? You don't want to arrive at work all the time and everything is chaos. You want to be able to go in there and just kind of relax a little and just trying to get a report and try to find out what's going on, where you need to pick up at. So what I'm saying is, by the time you get there, you want to have a cool down, you know. And so sometimes, you know, you have to ask the question, is all stress bad? No. In some ways, stress can help us in a positive way. It can help us to achieve and face challenges and grow as humans, okay? The key to dealing with stress involves in how we manage the stress that comes into our lives. Stress is just a part of the human condition. Amen? We need to learn how to manage it, okay? And don't let it manage you. Amen? So this is what Jesus did. Every time you looked at or read about Jesus, Jesus was always going someplace to deal with the stress. Keep in mind, yes, he's God. Yes, he's also fully man in the flesh, okay? So what I'm saying is, the number one thing that Jesus did with stress and worry and anxiety, if you look in Luke chapter 5 and 16, it tells us the thing that he did. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, and it says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He's dealing with all these people that's following him. These people, think about it. They want healing. They want deliverance. They want all this stuff. The disciples are, he said to them to come and follow me, right? He told them, said, come follow me. So in come following me, you're taking up ownership. You're taking responsibility for these 12 people that are following you. So therefore, Jesus had that responsibility as well. And I read Matthew chapter 14 as my opening verse, 23, and it says, and when he had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. He was by himself. He was dealing with stress. Jesus had to fulfill his human requirements in order to save us. So in other words, he had to go through everything that we are dealing with in order to, not that he needed to know because he's God, but he did that in order for to shut our mouths. Let me just put it that way. He did it to shut us up. You know how some people say, you ain't never been through what I've been through. You ain't never done what I've done. You don't know what I'm talking about. If you have ever grew up like I grew up, you would understand better. I didn't grow up like you grew up. I didn't, you know, people say parts of East St. Louis is better than other parts. It's East St. Louis. It's East St. Louis. My point is, Jesus fulfilled everything, did everything to shut people up. He had to deal with many stressors while he was living here on earth. He had the responsibilities of taking care of his disciples and their families. He was responsible for their food, the shelter, on top of teaching them and transforming them into the men of faith the early church would soon need. So the disciples were a 24/7 everyday project for Jesus. Understand what I'm saying? He was developing them. He was teaching them, mentoring them. And sometimes they didn't get it. It stresses him out. He even said, how long have I been with you? He's teaching. That stress people out. If that ain't stress, what is it? For him to say, how long have I been with you? You still don't get it? We get frustrated when we're trying to teach our children homework. We're like, come on now. You can get this. Jesus always had to deal with all the stress that comes from handling a very successful ministry. Thousands of people came to him. Think about it. Thousands of people coming to you, receiving healing, listening to the teaching. Jesus had to deal with the stress that came with fighting demons and the devil. No one has ever lived on this earth that had to deal with stress more than Jesus. He's fighting demons constantly. No one has ever to deal with the forces of evil or has taken on the sins of the world. No one else has brought more healing and wholeness into the lives of mankind. Nobody has done that. Jesus has done that. How did Jesus handle things as a human being? He turned to God in prayer. Amen. Jesus knew the best way to handle the difficulties in life was to constantly connect with his heavenly Father. He knew that was the only way he was going to make it. That was the only way he was going to make it. He had to stay in connection with his Father. When somebody bothered him, when the stress of life got to be too much, the Bible tells us that Jesus would go to the mountain, to a place where he can be alone so he can talk to his daddy about this situation. Y'all remember Jesus teaches us, the word of God teaches us about in 2 Kings chapter 6, 17, where Elijah and his servant find themselves under a great deal of stress. They are surrounded by an army of men who have been sent to kill them. Elijah's servant was overwhelmed with worry and anxiety. And the thing about it is, he was looking at what was coming at him. He was stressed out. But see, Elijah lift up his voice in prayer, and suddenly God is there as his mighty partner. Elijah asked God to allow his servant to see what he was already seeing. All around Elijah was a company of angels ready to do battle for him and his servant. In other words, God was already on the scene ready to do battle. But because this person was looking at things from a physical standpoint and seeing how outnumbered he was, Elijah had to have God to come and help relieve this stress. In other words, he prayed to the Father and said, Lord, you got to help him understand and see what I see. Because what I'm looking at is you already present and accounted for, ready to do battle on your name's sake. So Elijah was ready to go into battle, but he had to get his servant in agreement and in line with him. I mean, he had to get him up to speed so he can see where he needs to be. All of that happened because Elijah went in prayer. You got to pray. If you're not praying, something is wrong with you. All of that happened because Elijah connected with God. You have to have a connection with God. Folks gonna tell you stuff. Things are gonna happen in your life. But if you don't have a connection with God, I can understand why you're worrying about this. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not gonna come, but know when it does come, God is already present and accounted for. So when you start to feel stressed and worried or anxious, don't just start wringing your fingers. Don't start acting like a chicken with his head cut off. Take your hands and fold them like, put them like this. Start praying to God and say, Lord, here am I, your servant, Lord. Come right now and help me, Lord. Let me tell you something. I bet you won't have a long prayer. See, that's the thing. See, when things are all right, your prayer is going to be long. But when you in need of help, it's going to be short and sweet. Help me, Lord. God already knows what to do. You ain't got to use no fancy words. All you got to say is, help me, Lord. Some of these preachers be using these fancy words, making y'all think they all educated. No, God don't care about your education. He don't care about the fancy words that you use. It does not impress him. Keep in mind, you're talking to the Word. I mean, it doesn't make sense. You're trying to impress the Word? That is his name. If he want to bring it to you, he can bring it. And then you won't know what he's saying. He even said, I speak to you in things that you are familiar with. Because if I speak to you in the heavenly, you won't understand what I'm saying. So don't be trying to impress me with your words. If you need help from God, you need to open up your mouth and say, help me, Lord. Get right down to it. Because why are you trying to do all that? God done already fixed the problem. I remember one time, you know, growing up, you know, my brother is a real good artist. He can draw real good. And so my younger brother, you know, he needed something for school. And so he was describing something to my brother, and the whole time he was describing it or whatever, my brother has already sketched it out. And my youngest brother's still trying to describe it to him, and he just turned the paper and said, Is this what you need? He said, yeah. So what I'm saying is, while he's trying to figure it out, my brother done already sketched it out. He gave it to him. And he was like, yeah, this is what I need. I'm going to turn that in. That's the way it is with God. You sitting there trying to explain yourself to God. Tell God about it. He don't mind it. But I'm saying is, when you get done, he done already got it figured out. He done already worked it out. God knows the end before the beginning. That's a bad person who can do that. Who can make the end complete that? Knowing how it's going to end, it ain't even started over here in the beginning. I can't even, let me tell you something. I have to go back and reference the end and how I'm trying to plot this in order to start where I need to begin. God said, I'm so bad, I ain't got to do that. I can tell you how it's going to end before I even start it. Man, that's some good talking. You know, that's somebody who knows, man, whoo, God knows what he's doing. We serve a God who is able. Jesus would always go to a place where he can reach out to God. Jesus talks, here's the thing. Jesus was always in tune to God. He was always ready for God. He was always leaning on God, on the Father. Jesus didn't lean on people. He leaned on God. God was the one who was able to get him through. See, we have things in our lives that we lean on, but God is the one who we need to be leaning on. Proverbs chapter 3 and 5. Proverbs chapter 3, I don't know if I put that up there, but it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. God don't want you to lean on your own understanding. He wants you to lean on him. And then he said, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God is basically saying is that if you lean on me, and in all your ways acknowledge me, he said, I will make a highway through the Red Sea. God has said, I will shut your boss mouth up. He said, I will bless you what you need. God said, you got it. All you got to do is lean on me. Trust and understand and submit yourself to God. God is the one who is doing it for us. It ain't you that's doing it. It is God that's doing it for you this morning. We need to understand what Jesus is trying to teach us here. You know, the load of stress, it can be very heavy on us. Even everything has to deal with stress. This building, believe it or not, this building is dealing with stress. If you sit quietly for a little while, you will hear the building dealing with stress. A lot of times I'm sitting there, I can hear it move. It's dealing with stress. The people that built this building had to build it in mind to be able to withstand the stress that it's going to do. Think about it for a moment. This roof has to be supported. The walls had to be able to sustain the roof. In other words, the walls were built and designed to be able to sustain the roof, because what happened is dealing with the stress and the weight of the roof coming down on it. So when the architect built this building, it had the roof in mind. It had the walls there to support what it was getting ready to do. God had you in mind when he put you on planet Earth, knowing that you are able to deal with everything that is coming your way. He has built something inside of you, which is God, because we are him. God has built inside of you something to be able to withstand the stress that is coming your way. Stress in our lives is related to the responsibilities we have and our abilities to complete the mission that God has put before us. This is why he spent so much time with the disciples, because he was trying to tell the disciples that these are some things that you're going to endure. These are some things that you're going to have to understand. He even had to tell James and John, you don't know what you're asking for. Be careful. You want to sit close to me? Let me tell you something. You want to be close to me? I'm going to tell you something that you don't know could happen to you. John the Baptist was close to him and he was beheaded. You have to understand that when you ask for that responsibility, understand what's going to come with it. So God has already prepared the disciples to, when something goes on in their life, they're able to withstand the pressure of this world. This is why he sent the Comforter to be with them, to support them, and to sustain them through the midst of their trials and tribulations. Every one of us lean on someone or something to help us get through this life. We all have a well-developed support system in place. We depend on the people and the things in our lives to help us make it through day by day. All of us are guilty of leaning on our support system more heavily and more often than we need to. But God did not save us so we could rest ourselves in other people's care. God saved us to walk in absolute and utter dependence upon him. And when God sees his children leaning on everyone and everything but him, God has a problem. God said, I am a jealous God. We can count on him teaching us the lessons we need to learn in order to keep us moving. David was taught to lean on the Lord. Leaning isn't bad as long as we are leaning on the right one. This is why they say leaning on his everlasting arms. It ain't bad when you're leaning, but long as you're leaning on the right one. See, when you're leaning on something, it's keeping you upright. Amen? So when you lean on God, he's keeping you upright. God wants you to stay leaning on him. David needed some stability in his life. So this is what God did for him. And God, in his grace, placed some things and some people in David's life to be a support system to him. He leaned on the support of his position. You can find this in 1 Samuel. Do some studying in chapter 18. He leaned on his support system, on the position. A humble shepherd boy had been promoted to a captain over thousands in Saul's army. Then he leaned on the support of popularity. The people of Israel loved David and respected him. David was leaning on a popularity. Then he leaned on the support of people. God placed some special people in the life of David during those difficult times. David's wife, Michal, David was given a wife who genuinely loved him. David drew great strength from leaning on the support of his wife. Now, the prince, Jonathan. Jonathan proved to be a faithful friend to young David. He was David's eyes and ears in the throne. Jonathan even placed his friendship to David higher than his own to his daddy. The prophet Samuel was also a leaning post for him as well. The prophet was support in the it was a great support in the life of David. Samuel taught David about sacrifice, service, and worship. So he leaned on the support of pride also. David took pride in the life he lived and knew how to carry himself before God. Amen. So David's support system was in place where God had it. But then God also began to do a dismantle of that support system. God knows what he's doing. He's trying to tell David, that's not what you really need. He said, now all of a sudden, David lost his position. You can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 19, the next chapter of David's life. David lost his popularity as one removed from the public's eye. Then David lost his people. Every person leaned on in his life was taken away. So now David doesn't have the people anymore. Then his wife started cutting up and started lying. And now all of a sudden he doesn't have his wife anymore. So Jonathan also was removed. Jonathan goes on as far as he can protect David. And in the end, Jonathan must send David away for his own safety. So Samuel was also removed. God removed Samuel out of his life. Then David lost his pride. He lost all of that. Why did God do this to David? God did this to David so David would lean to him and not on the things that he had put in place. God was letting them know that ultimately what you need to do is lean on me, not on the things that are out there. God told him that he needed to lean on him more than he's ever leaned before. God was telling David, your focus need to be on me. That's why David wrote in the Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously come out of my mouth. See what happens when you start leaning on God and stop leaning on other people, a psalm will come out of your mouth, and you begin to speak to God. He leaned to the Lord in praise. He learned to lean to the Lord in protection. He learned to lean to the Lord in provision. He learned to lean on the Lord for promise. He learned to lean on the Lord for presence. He learned to lean on the Lord for perseverance. He was leaning on the Lord. He stopped leaning on the things of this world. He was saying, I'm going to lean on God, everlasting arms. So the question is this morning, who are you leaning on? We are leaning on something. Something is trying to hold us up. We're leaning on something or someone to hold us up. But let me tell you, one day that person is not going to be here. But who are you going to lean on then? I'm going to tell you, God is everlasting. He was here before my grandmama. He was here during my grandmama. And he's still here after my grandmama. So what that tell you? The only one you can lean on is God. Every year is going to bring about something. I don't know what it's going to bring about. It could bring about joy. It can bring about happiness. It could bring about death. It could bring about suffering. But every year brings about something. But whatever it brings, if you're leaning on it, it's going to hurt you. But if you're leaning on God, his everlasting arms, God will grab you and pull you into his bosom, and it won't hurt you as much. I didn't think the devil could hurt me as much as he did. I didn't think the devil could hurt me as much as when my brother was killed. But you know, it gave me a fight in me. It didn't run me away from God. It ran me to God. And I know that God was with me. And he sustained me. God kept me through those years that was troubling me. But I didn't lean. I was leaning on God, who was able to get me through these troubled times. I couldn't lean on my parents. They were struggling. I couldn't lean on my brother. He was struggling. The only person I had to lean on was the Lord. There's going to come a time in your life. You're going to have to learn who you're leaning on. Are you going to lean on this person? Or are you going to lean on the everlasting God? God is the author and finisher of our faith. So who are you leaning on? When you lean on God, just watch as he make a way out of no way. Watch how God do it for you. Watch how God bless you. Watch how God do those things that people say is impossible to be done. We serve an awesome God. God is able. All you got to do is put your trust in him. Amen. Doors of the church is now open. We're opening up the doors of the church. We're extending an invitation to Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. doors of the church is open. Whosoever will, let him come.